Hello, welcome to Live Well Lifestyle Seminar with Perry A. on this January day, and Happy New Year to everyone. I hope you enjoyed your holidays and times with family and friends, and have gotten your Christmas decorations down by now, and ready to advance on an exciting new year. I'm planning on 2014 being the best year ever. And why not? I get to choose. This is our Live Well Lifestyle Seminar, and I'm your host, Perry A., the author of Living Clay. The reason I started this seminar was because I realized that a lot of time people had conditions caused by stress that would override any medicine. Excuse me, my other phone's going off. So how do you address stress? And it occurred to me we needed some lessons in letting go of trying to control the world and life and the people around us and everything that was going on, and dealing with loss and how to keep a positive outlook and to let go of worry, because these things just cause acidity in the body. And it can, like I said, it can override the strongest medicines. And there were many conditions that people had that I knew Clay worked very effectively and quickly on, and yet they had no response. But life is about mind over body. Your mind will supersede your body. So what you tell to your body from your mind is what it hears and where it goes. And I had so many people tell me, nothing works for me. Nothing ever works for me. And that's their inbred belief. And the ego likes to be right, so we make sure that nothing will work so we get to be right, not realizing that being right, we are losing everything. And it's just a psychological game our ego plays with our bodies. So how can we change our attitude, which is the only thing we have the power to control, and the way we see people, and have a more peaceful lifestyle and existence and a healthier life. So it's all about health and wellness. Today our topic is embracing what is. And the thought for the day came from Byron Katie, who is one of my favorite authors. When you argue with reality, you always lose, but only 100% of the time. So when I say a hurricane that happened shouldn't have happened, do I change anything by arguing with it, by not wanting it, by resisting it? No, the destruction is already there. So how can we be at peace with that? And that's what we're going to talk about today. I drew a can-do card. I draw these cards with the intention of finding the perfect message for whatever my topic is for today. And the can-do card from Louise Hay today said, I am not responsible for other people. Wow. I am not responsible for other people. We are all under the law of our own consciousness. So we all have free will. We can make right or wrong choices for ourselves. We all have our learning path and our journey to go through. And it's not up to me to tell other people how to live their lives. In fact, it's usually rejected unless they ask. If they ask you, then that's one thing. But to intercede because you think you know more than God what they need, that's getting into other people's business. So, how freeing is it to know you're not responsible for other people? Wow, when I think of that, I just feel a burden lifted from my shoulders. You know, particularly with our family member and our children, we think that we're constantly responsible for them. But maybe when they're little babies, we need to teach them, give them values, teach them right from wrong and good behavior and a good positive attitude. But are we responsible for their choices when they grow to be adults and teenagers? And no, they create their own choices, and they should serve their own consequences, and therefore they can learn. So on Conversations today, here was the message. This is Conversations with God. On this day of your life, friend, I believe God wants you to know that you can be happy right here, not tomorrow, not in 10 minutes, but now. You can be happy right now. Wow, how freeing is that? And then he went on to say, Byron Katie said that, and she's right. Happiness is allowing yourself to be okay with what is. That's what we're talking about. What is this reality? Rather than wishing for or bemoaning what is not. So even sitting there in the midst of seeing all your worldly possessions burn up in a forest fire or destroyed by a volcano eruption or a flood or a hurricane, you can still choose to be happy. You have your life, you have your family. Look at what you do have, not what you don't have. And if you had it once, you can have it again. And what I've noticed more and more in this world, there's a consciousness, it's like a tsunami of love, that when there is a disaster, people show up to help. And you're not left in the cold forever with no clothes. The Red Cross, all these agencies, they bring in food, water, clothes, backpacks, shoes, everything that's needed. Maybe not in the luxurious style you have, but you are protected, covered, you're given a place to live until they can find a place for you. Maybe you have to move into relatives. At least you have them and you have a place. But it's not permanent. It doesn't have to be permanent. We have the will to rebuild. I know you think I worked long and hard to acquire all of this and now it's gone and I didn't have insurance and nothing left and how did I create this and what's going on? And we can sit and bemoan it. So we're arguing with what is. And we're not choosing happiness. Is it difficult to choose happiness in a time like that? So many people put up signs in their yards that are humorous. You know, if you can find the humorous in a disastrous situation, you're definitely savable. Life is available to you. And I want to talk to you a little bit about what is. Obviously, what is what is supposed to be or it would not be. The rest is just you arguing with life. Somewhere along the way, you'll have to learn, just trust life. And read that as just trust God. Why not start today? So what are you bemoaning and wanting to change that is out of your control? Do not hang on too long to what is in the past that is gone. It will keep you stuck in cement. Grieve, pick yourself up, and go forward. One small step at a time, and look for the gifts that will arise out of the chaos. They are always, always there. You know, this consciousness that's going around, I think, probably everybody heard about what Starbucks did during the Christmas. They set one day aside, and whoever came up, they asked them to, they didn't have to pay for their order, but pay for the person behind them. And people went there all day long and got whatever they wanted free, and then they agreed to pay for the person behind them. And it's a way of passing it forward, in this case, behind them, but passing it on and doing something good. The other day I was in the grocery store and there was a lady checking out. And I was kind of in a hurry. I was gotten something for a recipe. I need to get home and finish cooking. And this lady had her little card, her government card, and it was down to pennies. And she didn't know how much was on it. And so she would run it for a certain amount. Well, it was too much. And so by a process of elimination, she ran her card 10 or 15 times to get the right amount to find, you know, this was too high, this was too low, this was too high, this was too low, and she finally narrowed it down to where she could use the last penny on her card. And I thought later, why didn't I say, would you let me buy your card? I'll give you $5 for that card. I didn't want to insult her, and I might be in a place where I can afford more, and she needs her penny. But not only that, I was willing to buy the card for $5. I would have given her $20 for it joyfully, just to be able to go on about my day. And I was sitting there trying to understand and be compassionate and not be upset that I was having to stand there for 15 minutes while they found out just exactly what penny amount was on the card. And I had a friend the other day that was in the same predicament behind a lady, and she had run her card, and when they got through, she had more items than money that was on her card. So they had to take some things out. They took a gallon of milk out and something else. And he stepped forward and said, I would like to buy the things, but I'll put them on my card and give them to her that you're taking off of what she has. And just as a kind gesture, he did that. How do you think it affected that lady throughout the day? And it's called Passing It Forward. If you haven't seen that movie, I recommend it to everybody to see Passing It Forward. It's a wonderful movie, and it's how we can pass love forward and kind deeds and kindness. And everybody feels good. You feel good when someone does something for you, and then when you do something good for somewhere else, that makes you feel good. And it's just a chain reaction that goes on and on. So that is the solution that we're looking for. And to, as Neil Donald Walsh said in his thing, you know, somewhere along the way you have to learn to trust life. And then he said, read that is trust God. Everything is as it's supposed to be or it would not be. Floods happen, blizzards happen, tsunamis happen, disasters happen. It's part of life. And death happens. It's inevitable. And yet we hold on to people. There's some people we'd like to pickle and put in a jar just to know that they're here and I can reach out and touch them, regardless of the quality of their life. So if you understand where I'm going with this, it's about letting go and letting God. And being at peace with that decision and knowing something good will come. It always comes. There's always a new beginning, a new gift, if your attitude is right. Now, you determine what's going to happen by your attitude and your thought process. And we've talked about this many, many times. And last month, we talked about the power of believing. And I had my friend LaRue Epler, and I hope many of you have gone to her site and practiced the muscle testing to where you can help make decisions by tapping into your inner guide and listening to your body. Because the body always knows, even when you're out of, you know, when you don't know. So many times we know, but we set aside our knowing because I want to be sure. I don't want to make a mistake. I want to make sure it's perfect and that I make the right decision. So you start canvassing your friends. And you find out oftentimes what they tell you, they give you a solution that you don't want. And it just clarifies that you already know the answer. So when you reject their suggestion, it might work in their world, but it doesn't feel comfortable for you because you already know the answer. Trust yourself to know that answer. The power thought for today, again, I get so excited when I draw these and find how neatly they fit. I am totally adequate for all situations. I am one with the power and wisdom of the universe. I claim this power, and it is easy for me to stand up for myself. Not neat. I am totally adequate for all situations. You have everything you need to meet any situation. Help will be there. Someone will come. and you can survive any situation. So I'm going to go over to the site and see if we have any questions or somebody has a place where they're stuck. And if you can give me a scenario of some place, something that you're bemoaning or out of control, and you know how to handle it, we can look at it and see if we can, when we find that solution, how to let go and be at peace. So I'm going to ask if there's anybody on the phone line that would like to make a question. Please press star 2 on your phone, and that'll open your line. And I'm going to go to the Q&A page and see if we have any questions. Well, we don't have questions today, so that means I just get to talk to myself, right? Okay, I'm hoping that I'll have some questions coming in. And in the meantime, I will see what scenarios I can think of that I could make a sample example of that would be beneficial to you. Okay, something you're bemoaning, something you want to change. You know, we love to help people. We have somebody who complains, we want to jump in and fix it. And sometimes they just want to be heard, and they want to throw out their options and complain a little bit. And the sympathetic thing you can do is to listen with caring and just saying, oh, wow, how does that make you feel? Wow, I'm sorry that's happening to you. And it's amazing when you just listen and acknowledge what they're saying, what a difference it makes in them, because they begin to realize what they're doing, but they do have a sympathetic listener and somebody who cares. So instead of jumping in to fix, and we all like to fix, we don't want anybody to hurt, we want to fix it. Women are great fixers. Not that men can't be fixers, too. I know a good deal of men who like to fix. And so instead of fixing, what can you do? You can listen with a sympathetic ear, with empathy, with understanding, not with the need to fix or change, just to be there for them and let them talk. And so many times our own answers arrive when we talk. And you can lead the conversation on like, wow, how does that make you feel? Gee, that must be trying for you. So kind of leave it open-ended and just listen, say, okay, wow, okay. Yeah, that's really tough. I hate it when that happens. And those are some responses you can give. So being happy, I love that. You can be happy right now in any situation. Happiness is just allowing yourself to be okay with what is, rather than wishing for or bemoaning what is not. And when you can appreciate what you have in what is, as if someone had been through a disaster and lost all of their material things, and they can say, well, you know, it could be worse. My family's safe. I'm safe. I still have my life. And I'm healthy. So find some little something to be grateful for, because gratitude will turn the tide of your attitude. From gratitude to attitude. So just start counting your blessing, be thankful, and look for the gifts. The gifts are always there. Every situation is a stepping stone. And always out of chaos, something beautiful, a reorganization arises. I remember the hurricane that went through Wichita Falls about 20 years ago when I lived in Seymour. And it took out about a half-mile wide strip through the poor part of town. And it was about a half-mile wide and a mile long. And Oh, you drive through that area and you just saw concrete foundations. Occasionally there was a commode sitting there that hadn't been uprooted, or maybe part of a chimney. But the total house and everything in it was just gone. Just debris, like a bomb went off, an explosion. But they rebuilt that area. It didn't happen overnight. It wasn't a one-day thing. And now it's a beautiful house. That area of town was deteriorating. The houses were old. They were problematic. So you could say maybe it was a way that Earth cleans itself. And they came back and they rebuilt, and they built nicer houses and sturdier houses. And yes, it took a little time. And you know, these people still had their jobs. And there were people there to help with compassion and caring. The Red Cross and the churches and neighbors and friends and family. And that's what we do for each other. In the days of Little House on the Prairie, when something like that happened, all the neighbors would get together and go out and have a barn raising, they called it, because they would give their time and materials and rebuild a structure for them. And we're still doing that. We're just doing it in a different way. And what a beautiful thing to do. And I found this happy thought I wanted to share. It was one of my friends. From my friend Mike Dooley with Totally Unique Thought. He has a delightful sense of humor, and I found this to be, you know, quite lovely. I love this attitude about him. There can only be a need for forgiveness when there is blame, when there first is blame. So there can only be a need to forgive when there first is blame. And there can only be a blame when first there is a misunderstanding. And often misunderstandings arise from one of three things: not enough love, not enough sleep, or not enough chocolates. Now, I had to laugh at that one, because chocolate is a very comforting thought. And sleep, if we don't get the right amount of sleep, we're edgy, we're snappy, and we act without love, right? Not purposely, not intentionally. It's just our body is exhausted, and love doesn't come forth as easy as it does when we're refreshed. So remember that. There can only be a need for forgiveness when first there is blame. And when there blame is because there is a misunderstanding. And often misunderstandings arrive for one of three reasons: not enough love, not enough sleep, are not enough chocolates. Now, if that didn't make you smile or laugh, nothing will. You're already dead on Earth. I have a closing thought for today. In the end, only three things matter: how much you loved, how gently you lived, and how gracefully you let go of things not meant for you. And that was a quote by Buddha. So in the end, only three things matter: how much you loved, how gently you lived, your footprint on Earth, and how gracefully you let go of things not meant for you. Think about that. And my suggested reading for this month is Loving What Is by Byron Katie. And I think Byron Katie is one of the most fascinating people I've ever met. She could be at peace with anything. She even talked one day about her grandchild who had an accident, was taken to the hospital, and they didn't know if he would live or die. And she said, "I would miss him terribly, but I could be at peace knowing that he's going to a more beautiful place, and that he was just mine here on Earth to love for a while, and that I had loved him greatly, and that we had a beautiful relationship together." Now, I have not reached that level of mastery yet that I could celebrate for someone. As Abraham Hicks says, we all croak and we go to a higher place. Life is not ending. It's ongoing. to celebrate for someone. And if you've heard any of the near-life experiences, near-death experiences, the people say it's so beautiful, they don't want to come back to their earthly bodies. So to know that something there is so great as that that's waiting for us, I think it's helpful to know that. And can we know for sure? No, not until we croak. But can we believe in some people who have croaked and then came back? Well, that's your choice. And I choose to believe the good things. And again, whatever you believe becomes your reality, even though it's not a universal choice. I hope many of you enjoyed our last session with LaRue Epler. And LaRue is one of the most fascinating people. She has created a system of looking into your beliefs and finding what hidden belief is grounding you and holding you back. And you find your beliefs, your hidden beliefs, by noticing what triggers you. When somebody ticks you off, there's a previous experience that's been buried in you that's been triggered. It's your trigger point. So look at your trigger points and shine the light on them. Focus on them a minute and just look them right in the eye. What was that about? Why did I get angry about that? Was there a solution I could have made? It's like standing behind the lady. I was getting real agitated that we're taking so long time to find that last penny on the card. It meant a lot to her. A penny didn't mean that much to me. So next time, I'm going to step forward and offer to buy her card and give more for it than what they think was left on it and be at peace. But there was something in me that wouldn't let me be patient while somebody else was doing their business. And maybe that length of time that I was there kept me from having been in, if I would have been in a wreck on the way home. Who knows? But in the understanding that everything is in God's hands and His plan. So if you are delayed, there's a reason for it. And let go of speeding through traffic. Just be at peace with being a little late. It doesn't mean you're a horrible person. People understand people being late. But being at peace with it is what we're getting at here. So I hope you can go forward and in January embrace what is, make plans for your life, make some choices. Notice you're starting, you know, it's a new beginning, and each day is a new beginning. You don't have to wait New Year's to make plans for your life. And sit and meditate and visualize and see the life you want to live. Don't worry about how you're going to get there. Just see where you want to be. And see the people around you. See the colors around you. What objects you have. And be in that place of your mental picture of your future. And that will design how you act and react in life. If you really want it, you'll find a way to go there and get those things. Mostly by allowing it in. And remember, your choices affect you. And you're not responsible for other people's choices. Well, our time is about up. I've talked for 30 minutes. I regret that we didn't have any interaction on this session. I'm not really sure if you all are enjoying this lecture. We do get some emails, so if you've heard it and you want to continue it, please let me know. It looks like we have a low attendance today, and I don't want to be putting something out there that you're not enjoying or getting something from. So if you can respond to me and let me know, then we can know whether to continue this. I am going to go back now and ask, we have people online, is anyone online who has a question they'd like to ask? If you do, just press star 2. and I can open your line. So I'm going to wait just a minute for him to press star 2. And if I don't see anything, I have one. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, this is Terry.
Hey, Terry. I tend to, you know, when I'm feeling well, everything is great. When I, if I start aching or hurting, for some reason, I am just so wimpy about it. And actually, it's like it causes fear in me. And I want to go over everything that I've done or what could have caused this or why could I be feeling this way and, like, get up in my head about it and try to do this kind of self-diagnosis of what's happened and what's made me feel different today, where my joints might be aching or I'm, you know, hurting. And it's like I forget, and I'm trying not to forget this, to, you know, turn to God and ask Him to release me from it and to help me. And I've tried to look at what the hidden, let's see, what did you call it? The hidden belief that makes me get, like, fatalistic about things.
Yes. Well, first of all, congratulations, you're human. The analyzing, it's very human. We all do it, particularly when we get tired. When you're not feeling well, it drains your energy. And when your energy is low, you get a little snippy. You want to figure out why isn't life perfect. So I would ask you to look at and to ask yourself, what is it about me that needs to be perfect? When did I get that my body was never supposed to ache?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that I'm always supposed to have energy and be perfect. So what is that message? And just keep asking, what is it about me that needs to be free from aches and pain all the time?
Mm.
And you'd be surprised if you can do it with somebody and have somebody keep asking you. And so what does that mean? What does it mean that you have some aches and you're discontent with it? What does that mean about you? So I'll ask you, so what does that mean? So what do you get from that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an answer? And you just go inside and sit and wait for something to come up.
Mm-hmm. I've kind of gone back to where it seems like that when I was a child that there was such concern and over sicknesses and diseases and illnesses, and almost to a point of, like, people being, you know, hypochondria about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, parenting will do that to you. Having a sick child, some of us are just so overprotective, and we put that fear out there. So the
mm-hmm.
fear is associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's go back and look at that and look where you got it and ask yourself, is this belief serving me now?
Mm-hmm.
Was this belief inherited from someone else, or was it something you contrived?
Mm-hmm.
So this was something you inherited from the people around you taking care of you?
Yes.
Okay. Is it serving you today?
No.
Are you willing to let go of it?
I am willing to let go of it.
Okay. Well, you know, keep asking those questions and finding it, and then look at where it came from. Is it serving? Who would you be without it? Who would you be without the belief, I have to be perfect all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Can you answer that?
I would
How would
think,
your life be different?
Well, when it happens, I could just accept it as the way it is at the time, and that it will pass.
Mm-hmm.
And
sometimes it's weather related. Now, I'm not saying ignore a signal that maybe you need to see a doctor or something of that nature, but I am saying look at it and just question it, and think, who would I be without this belief that I'm sick,
mm-hmm.
that I'm achy? You know, how would I be if I didn't have the belief that I was going to wake up tomorrow because the weather changed and feel bad?
Mm-hmm.
And notice how you feel when you hold that belief.
Okay.
When you wake up and you're achy, then you get disgusted with yourself and you want to analyze.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of taking time to analyze, take time to meditate, to sit and be still and clear your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And see if that can help. It's a trigger point. When you go into analyzing, there's something there that shouldn't be the way that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we all get older and we all get achy eventually. And sometimes mm-hmm. we do it when we're younger, when we stress our bodies out, push them beyond their limits. I know I was getting that way before I started taking clay. And if I rode in the car for very long and I'd get out, I would be so stiff I couldn't walk. I'd have to stand there and kind of wiggle and stretch a little bit before I could walk into the store. When I started taking clay, the clay took care of those aches and pains. It was kind of like taking glucosamine chondroitin or something. It just, I don't know, it went away.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked for me. But, you know, does your analyzing and worrying about it make it go away?
No.
Uh-huh. How much time do you use and are stressed by the analyzing and trying to figure it out?
I could waste 2 or 3 hours doing it, or a day.
I love your honesty. I just love your honesty because that's what it does. It consumes us. It really does. So when you get there and recognize it, say, you know, this is just a thought. I'm going to choose another thought. Today I'm mm-hmm. achy, and this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for, you know, I think you probably answered a question for a whole lot of people. A lot of us have that same situation. Because we're human.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into the analyzing. So thank you for participating with me.
Thank you. I just want to get out of being an alarmist.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And I'm sure you do it in other ways as well.
Yes.
It's kind of becomes a habit. And you need to... I was reading an article today about substituting, to break habits by substituting something else. Just to break a habit and quit cold turkey is hard to do. But mm-hmm. if you substitute another activity for it when you're breaking that habit, so another activity for worrying that you might want to do would be what? When you're analyzing, what's another activity you could do? What do you enjoy doing?
I certainly can go to my maker and go to the Lord, go to God, and start focusing on Him and what He's done for me, and let that run through my mind rather than
yes.
the symptoms, you know.
Right, and count your blessings.
Yes, gratitude.
Well, I'm aching. It lets me know I have a body and I'm alive.
Okay.
Yay. There's one good thing.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I can still function, and I can still walk. And I know that as I get up and move about my day, I begin to feel better.
Absolutely. My fingers work. My toes work. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I can live by myself. I can drive. I'm self-sufficient. And even if you're not, think of the people that help you and be grateful for that.
Yes.
So that substitute your thinking. When you get there, recognize that, okay, this is a trigger point. I'm getting into the fear that this shouldn't be the way it is, and because people just cowered over me. It was like something is really bad if you're sick when you're a child, and so something wrong must be going on in your body, something horrible wrong. And just look at that and substitute. All right, God, I don't know how to deal with this. Will you take this from me? I give you this pain. I give you my anxiety. And I would like to go about and be of service to you in joy and happiness today.
Mm-hmm.
So help me release this burden so that I can get on with better things.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much for joining me today. Sometimes I think maybe this program isn't worthwhile, so it's very rewarding to know somebody's getting something out of it.
Oh, yes.
I'm just sitting here talking for 30 minutes, and I don't know if I'd like to hear myself talk for 30 minutes, but some people are still on the phone, so that gives me hope.
Okay. Yeah, the whole thing was very edifying. Thank you.
Thank you. And have a wonderful week.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Happiness.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Would anyone else have something they would like to say? The magic thing is star 2, and I'll unmute your line. Here's one. Hello? Hello, are you on the air? Hello?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Okay, and can I help you?
I was just trying to listen in.
Oh, all right. I thought you had your hand raised. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Okay. All right. This is Perrier, and I'm going to sign out for today and hope you go forth and have a beautiful day. January, it's cool and crisp here. And make the best of whatever the weather is in your part of the country. If it's cold and you have a fire and you're warm, that's good. Find something to be blessed about and be thankful for. And it's been wonderful being with you. I thank you for all the listeners who've been online and wish you the best. This is Perrier signing out.